of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. May the Lord grant each one of you a very, very special blessing. And in case you are not aware, I'd like to remind you that we are already in the middle of the year, very much so, and very soon winter will be over. We are in the midst of winter now, but very soon winter will be over, and spring will be here, and then summer will be here, and soon the year will have ended. Now the question for all of us is, what will we have done for the Lord by the end of the year? And should the Lord come, what kind of account are we going to give of ourselves unto Him? Will we be able to hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or are we going to hear Him say this to us, "Thou wicked and slothful servant"? My dear friends, the opportunities are ours to serve Him, and it is a great, great privilege to be able to serve Him. And if He has given us the privilege to do so, let's seize the opportunities and capitalize on the privileges that He has given us, and serve Him well, so that when He comes again, we may indeed hear Him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now the subject this morning is bringing up children in the Lord, and I speak from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, particularly verse 4, which says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, until recent times, parents in dealing with their children who are naughty and disobedient will let the cane do the talking. And the cane, I dare believe, did a very, very good job in his talk. But then the problem with is that there were parents who overused the cane. They didn't know the limit of the use of the cane, so instead of effectively correcting their children, they were very, very harsh in doing so. They overstepped, and they crossed the line, and instead of using the cane correctly, they abused the cane. Then, with the advent of modern psychology, the pendulum seems to swing to the other end. The cane today is withdrawn, and modern psychology says that the use of the cane is very, very harmful to the development of children, and therefore the cane must not be used. And today the use of the cane is condemned in many first world countries, to the extent that today in some countries it is illegal to make use of the cane by parents. And I believe this is the case in Australia. It is illegal for parents to make use of the cane to discipline their children. So we have two extremes of disciplining children. Now, which is the right method? Now, does the Word of God have anything to say in regards to disciplining children? Now, the Word of God definitely has lots to say about disciplining children. For example, we have this written in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24, it says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him quickly." Yes, so the Word of God is definitely supportive of corporal punishment. But today my main focus is not so much on disciplining children. My topic is bringing up children in the Lord. But in the course of doing so, I will be touching on the disciplining of children. The Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, he says this, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, I'm very, very sure here that when Paul says, "and ye fathers," he's not excluding mothers. So I think it would be quite correct to say, "and ye parents, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, there are two aspects of bringing up children. One is, of course, negative, and the other one is positive. Let's talk about the negative aspect of bringing up children first of all. Provoke not your children to wrath. provoke not your children to anger. Now, there are actions that parents make use of that provoke their children to anger. And one action I think that parents can be guilty of that can provoke children to anger is to show favoritism in the home. One child is favored over the others by the parents. Now, of course, the children who are not favored would be very, very discontented. They will be provoked to anger. Now, in God's word, we have the clear example of a father who showed favoritism to one son over his other sons. Yes, I refer you to the case of Jacob. He definitely showed great favor to one son, the son of his old age, namely Joseph. And then he was very, very conspicuous in doing so when one day he gave his son Joseph a coat of many colors. And we read in Genesis chapter 37, verses 3 and 4. Now Israel here is Jacob. And Jacob or Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. You see, loved him more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. They hated Jacob and could not speak peaceably with him or unto him. Now, did not his act of favoritism provoke his brothers to anger? It definitely did. It caused Joseph's brothers to hate Joseph. Now, it would be hard to imagine that his brothers or Joseph's brothers would love Jacob for what he did, for showing that favoritism to Joseph. And so, finally, the brothers' hatred caused them to plot to kill Joseph. But instead of killing him, they finally decided to sell him into slavery into the land of Egypt. Now, I personally had a taste of favoritism in our home, which of course provoked me to anger when I was a little kid. My father had many children, I told you before. Yes, he had 12 children. And the love that he had for his children, therefore, was very, very diluted, very spread out. And then and very, very divided, of course. But overall, I must say that he was a good father because he worked very, very hard to provide for us. But there's one thing that I really resented, something that provoked me to anger very much when I was a child, and that was his act of favoritism. He showed it very, very clearly. And of course, I was one of those that was not favored. And whenever I quarrel with this brother of mine who was my father's favorite son, all right, he was about my age, very close to my age. When I quarrel with him or when I fought with him, you guess who got the beating and who got the scolding? It was always I, not he. And I think back, you know, over the years, I can't remember one single incident in which my brother ever got a chiding from my father. Never, not a single time. But every time it was me. I was always wrong. And so I thought that my father really was very, very unfair. I thought that he didn't love me, but that, of course, wasn't true because he did love me. It's just that he loved my brother more than he loved me. And by the way, I had no hard feelings against this brother of mine. When we grew up, he was the brother I loved most among all the other brothers that I had. I love him most of all. So no hard feelings against him. It was just that I resented what my father did. Yes, and as a young boy, I thought he was very, very unfair. And there were many times when I contemplated running away from home. And there were days when I got a good hiding from my father. I would actually run away from home for nearly the whole day. And that got my parents very, very worried. So you see how unfairness or favoritism can provoke children to anger. Now, I know it's hard for parents not to show favoritism. Isn't it true? Very, very hard not to show favoritism to one of your children. It's hard. But you must try your very, very best not to show it. Because if you show it, you are definitely going to provoke your children to anger, to those children to whom you do not show the favor. Now, another action of parents that provokes children to anger is that of over-commanding their children. In other words, expecting too much out of the children, expecting too much from their children. Now, children can react by being very, very rebellious. If they think that they have failed in their ability to obey you, you try to command them to do things, and they, of course, try to obey you. But if they fail to obey you time and again, even though they try very, very hard, they can, at the end, become very, very rebellious. Now, I do not know whether it's happening here or not in Australia. Maybe it is already. But in Singapore, where life is very, very competitive, parents demand a lot from their children. They expect their children to score straight A's in all their subjects. Then I actually have heard of a case in which a child actually scored 98% in his mathematics test. And when he came home, he got a big scolding from the parents because he didn't have a perfect score. Now, if they push, their parents push their children too hard, what's going to happen is the children either break up or they close up and they become very, very rebellious. And I suspect many times parents behave that way. Yes, they behave that way. They expect very, very much from their children because they want their children to achieve vicariously for them. They felt that, you know, when they were young, they were deprived, they didn't have the opportunity to further their studies, or they had to work very, very hard while they studied, so they didn't do well in their school. And now they say, my children have the opportunity to do so. They must do well, not only for themselves, but also for me and for us, you see. So, but they forget that their children might not be given 5 talents. Their children might be given only 2 talents. And if they are given only 2 talents, parents cannot expect their children to deliver 5-talent level kind of a performance. Now you think about it, if the Lord were to expect us to deliver 5-talent kind of a performance, and He has only given us 2 talents, what would we say of our God? We will say that this Lord of ours is very, very unfair. He expects us to deliver 5 talents when He has only given us 2 talents. Now, my our Lord does not do that. He is always absolutely fair. Likewise, my dear friends, we must be like our Lord. Yes, we must be like our Lord. So don't over-command your children. If you over-commanded your children, it is very, very likely that they will be provoked to anger. Now, another action of parents that provokes children to anger is blaming unreasonably and applying punishment that is unreasonable. Now, this can happen when the children have done something that is wrong, maybe not so very, very wrong, but in the eyes of parents, the thing done is very, very wrong, and the parents blow everything out of proportion. And then to top it off, they apply a punishment that is very, very unjust, very, very unreasonable, and can be harmful too. Now, I remember one time I was invited to a home, a Christian home, by the way, to have dinner with this family. Then at the dinner table, what happened was the one daughter of this person who invited me overestimated her appetite. And she took a lot of food onto her plate. But she couldn't finish the amount of food, and there was a lot of food on her plate. You know what the father did? The father said to her, "You eat, finish the food." And he sat there with eyes wide open and watched her finish her food. You know, the poor girl, I seated there, I agonized with her. You know, she tried so hard to finish her food. Tears were streaming down her cheek. She forced everything down her throat. My dear friends, of course, it was an important lesson that the child should learn. The child should learn not to be greedy. The child should learn not to be wasteful. But that kind of punishment, I'm sure, is unfair, unjust, unreasonable, and very uncalled for. Yes? Would not this child be provoked to anger by such a punishment? What do you think? I say, if you were in the child's position, you would be very, very much provoked to anger. In your eyes, if you were that child, in your eyes, you would say, my father is being very spiteful. Isn't it very true? To hand that kind of punishment down to me. Now, parents, before any punishment is meted out, you should first investigate the wrong that is done. The blame must be properly assigned so that only the guilty one be punished and be punished accordingly. and the punishment must be befitting the wrong that was committed. Now, if the child interprets the action of the father as one that is taken not out of love, but out of spite, then the purpose of the punishment is defeated. Isn't it true? The purpose of the punishment, what's the purpose of the punishment? To create pain to the child? No. The purpose of the punishment is to correct the child. But if the child interprets your action as being taken out of spite, then the purpose of punishment is completely lost. And not only that, the child is going to be provoked to anger. And I doubt that the child, even years down the road, looking back at that punishment that was handed down to him or to her, would think that that punishment was handed out of love. No. He or she is going to think that that punishment was handed out of spite, handed down out of spite. Now, another action of parents that is likely to provoke their children to anger is to punish their children in a burst of passion, in a burst of anger. Now, parents who are carried away by their passion of anger are likely to punish their children in a very unreasonable manner. Now, I ask you, parents, how many of you honestly answer this question? How many of you punish your children in a very, very reasonable way when you are angry? How many? I dare say that when you are angry, chances are your punishment is going to be very, very unfair and very unreasonable. Now, let's say that you had a very, very terrible day at the office, a very, very bad day at the office. You were scolded by the boss, scolded by your customers, scolded by everybody, and you got home, you had a very, very bad day. And your child got in your way when you got home. And then what? You punish your child because you got or he got into your way, and you think your punishment is going to be very reasonable. I don't think your punishment would be very, very reasonable on a day like that. Now, if you kept a dog on that day, if your dog got in your way, you would kick your dog and tell you that. Yes. So, friends, if you are very, very angry, try to not to punish your child at that time, because the punishment that you hand out is likely to be very, very unreasonable. Your children do not have to take the kind of nonsense on a day like that. Would they not be provoked to anger by your burst of passion, by your burst of anger? Of course, they will be provoked to anger. Now, let us look at the positive aspect of bringing up children. We talk about the negative aspect of bringing up children. Provoke not your children to anger. Now, you will be provoking your children to anger, as we said. Yes, if you overcommand your children, yes, or you show favoritism, or you assign blame that is very, very unreasonable, and hand out punishment that is very unreasonable, or you punish your children because you are very, very angry. Now, let's look at the positive aspect of bringing up children. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, the second part. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents are to bring their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, what are the things to nurture and what are the things to admonish in regards to bringing up children? I think the most important subject to teach your child is the way of salvation. Isn't it true? That's the most important subject. Teach your child the way of salvation. That's top priority. Parents are, of course, naturally eager that their children receive a very good education, and that's reasonable. Now, in Singapore, we see lots of parents making sure that their kids do very, very well compared to other kids. So what they do is they send their kids to all kinds of tuition. Yes, maths tuition, English tuition, second language tuition, and so forth. And on the top of that, they want the children to go to the best schools. So parents buy all the past year's public examination papers, train the children to sit for exams so that they will pass the exams well. They do that in Singapore. Is the trend catching up here? I think so. I think there are parents here, many parents here, who will do that. Buy past year's public exams, papers, and train their child to sit for exams. Then, as if academic excellence is not good enough. Many parents feel that their children must have all-round excellence. So what do they do? As we said many times before, they send their children to swimming lessons, to karate lessons, piano lessons, ballet lessons, and all kinds of lessons. Now, I feel that parents here today in Australia, I feel that many of them are doing the same thing. Maybe not to the same degree as parents in Singapore would do. But sad to say, my dear friends, many Christian parents are doing the same thing. Christian parents are doing the same thing. They want their children to excel in everything, but they give very little consideration to enable their children to excel in spiritual things. That is the number one thing that their children should excel in, spiritual things. But that kind of excellence is very, very much neglected. So they have their priority wrong. Parents, I ask you, all right, take note, I ask you, are you making sure that your children are learning the truth of God, the truth of the Word of God, so that they will be wise unto salvation? Are you making sure that they are learning truth from the Word of God so that they will be wise unto salvation? Do you teach them of a tender age that they are sinners in the sight of the one true living God and they need salvation? And do you teach them the way of salvation? Do you teach them how to pray? Do you teach them how to memorize God's word? Do you teach them to love the Lord? Do you teach them to give thanks before they eat, at home as well as in public places? Or are you too shy to give thanks in public places? Now, if you are too shy to give thanks in public places, you can't expect your children to give thanks in public places. And then, do you teach them to worship the Lord? Do you teach them to make preparation to come to the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day to worship, which means on a Saturday night, no television. On Saturday night, you tell everybody in the home, all the members in the home, to sleep early so that you will be able to come to church early on the Lord's Day. Do you do that, my dear friends? I trust you are doing it. All right, it's your responsibility. You should provide the spiritual leadership, and that's how you nurture your children in the Lord. And do you have this as your motto for bringing up your children? I hope you will adopt this motto if you do not have this motto. And that is, this is given in Proverbs 22, verse 6. I think it's good for us to look at this verse. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Yes, use this as your motto for bringing up your children. Proverbs 22, verse 6. All right, let's read this verse together. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. So train up a child in the way that he should go. The way of the Lord. Train him up in the way of the Lord, so that when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child, so that when he grows up, whether he's rich or poor, it doesn't matter. Whether he's healthy or unhealthy, it doesn't matter. Whether he's brilliant or not brilliant, it does not matter. Capable or not capable, it does not matter. But he is able to live a very, very joyous life because he loves the Lord. My dear friends, if you have trained up your child so that when he grows up, yes, he has a very, very joyous life and he loves the Lord, you have already made a success in the training of your child. Yes, he trusts in him, he fears the Lord, he has everlasting life, he has abundant life, and his only interest in life is to do the will of the Lord. Life for him is most meaningful because he does everything to please the one true living God. And he has this one objective in life, and that is to bring honor and glory to the name of the Lord. Now, if you are a true believer in the Lord and you want to parent your child well, and if you truly love your child, this must be your aim. Train up your child in the way of the Lord. It must be your aim. Now, the word nurture means to discipline by power, all right? We are looking at these two words now, nurture and admonish. Now, to nurture means to discipline by power. Now, when the child is tender in age, most times parents will discipline by power. Yes, parents give the command and the child is expected to obey. This disciplining is not so much by punishment, but by drilling. Not punishment, but drilling. The child needs to understand who the authority is. He has to understand that the parents have laid down rules, and these rules are to be obeyed. And these rules are not only for show, but these rules are to be enforced. Now, often I see parents undermining their own authority because they do not enforce the rules that they lay down. The rules are just empty threats. Now, take, for example, a simple situation like this. The father may tell the son, "Son, you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, if you don't wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you are later than that, there will be no computer games for you for the whole day." All right? The child wakes up at 8:30. Then parents say, "Sorry, son, no computer games for you for the whole day." And then what happens to the son? Son sulks and sulks and sulks. And by afternoon time, parents' heart softens and say, all right, son, you can have 1 hour of computer games. 1 hour. My dear friends, the parents have already undermined their own authority. They have broken their own rules. So what do you expect from your children? Your parents, your children are going to dishonor you. You're only encouraging to disrespect you because you have undermined your own authority. Now the child needs to understand that there is authority in the home so that they will understand that there is authority outside the home. As of the tender age, parents need to teach their children to honor them. Now one time it was very, very popular in the U.S. For parents to not teach the children to address them as mommy and daddy, but to address them by their first names. Remember that? That seemed to be the fad some years ago. I don't know whether it's still the same or not. Now, as we know, anything that happens in the U.S. will always spread around the world, and I'm sure it came to Australia, and there were lots of people who would have their children address them by their first names and not as mommy and daddy. But dear friends, let's understand this. It is scriptural that parents should, children to address their parents as mommy and daddy. The word of God says, honor thy father and thy mother. I trust that there is none here who would be so liberal as to be very, very tolerant if their children were to address them by their first names. I trust none of you are like that. And all you young people who are going to be parents, please take note. Yes, be very, very observant of this teaching from the Word of God. Your children are to address you as mommy and daddy, papa and mama. Now, teach them to love, to have good work ethics as of a tender age. Teach them to be industrious. Teach them that in the Christian faith, there is no place for idleness, no place for slothfulness, no place for laziness. Teach them that the Lord expects them to make use of their talents. If the Lord has given them 3 talents, they are expected to use 3 talents and not 1. Teach them that if they are lazy and not willing to make use of the talents which the Lord has given them, one day they have to. There will be a day of reckoning, on which day they will have to stand before the Lord to give an account of the talents that they have been given to make use of. And if they fail, they are going to hear this from the Lord: "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Yes, teach them this truth. And if they have done well, they are going to get high commendation from the Lord. The Lord is going to say to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now, when children are older, disciplining through punishment and drilling must become less and less. In other words, there will be less nurturing. But the disciplining must be done through reason. And so we read this in verse 4. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Now, when a child is older, you bring them up by admonition. Now, the word admonition has got something to do with the mind. In other words, when you admonish, you should actually be reasoning with the child. You should be appealing to reason. when you are trying to counsel your children when they are older, when you are trying to discipline them. But when they are younger, of course, you do not need to give them reasons for everything that you want your children to do. Most times you will determine what is good for your child and say, son, you do it, or daughter, you do it. You don't have to give your child the reason why the child should be going to school. Isn't it true? You say, you go to school. It's good for you. You go. That's it. You don't give any reason. Or if you want your child to be vaccinated, you don't have to give the child the reason why the child should be vaccinated. Now, and even if you give a reason to your child, and a very, very good reason, the child is unlikely to understand what you're saying also. So when the child is young, of course, you just apply this thing called nurturing. Yes, you apply disciplining by power. But when the child is older, of course, you don't do that. Now, when the child is young, you don't tell the child or give you tell the child to go to church. You don't have to give the reason as to why the child should be going to church. You say, it's good for you. The Lord wants you to go to church, and you go to church. Yes. But as we said, when the child is older, then you can't do that anymore. When they are older, you cannot compel them to do things that they do not want to do. They will protest. They might go along with you. Yes, out of respect for you, they might go along with you, but in their hearts, they might resent what you ask them to do, and they might resent you also. You will need to reason with them as to why you want them to do certain things and why you don't want them to do certain things. Now, if you have given them a good grounding when they are young, teach them the Word of God, teach them the laws of God, then it will be easier for you to explain to them when you want them to do certain things or not do certain things, in order that they may be able to please the Lord. Yes, that is, if you have given them a very, very good grounding when they are young. So you must give them a very, very good grounding of the Word of God as of the time when they are very, very young. Now, the next question is, all right, we need to nurture children, we need to admonish children, to bring up children, but how to teach? How to nurture, how to admonish, and how early? I say as early as possible. As early as possible, teach them the way of salvation. We mustn't underestimate the ability of the children to understand the way of salvation. They do understand. I've heard of cases, great saints of the Lord, who came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ at a very tender age. At the age of 4 or 5, they came to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. They understood the gospel. So don't underestimate their ability to understand. Give them the gospel. Lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ as of a tender age. And how to teach, how to nurture, and how to admonish. Do it gradually. All right, I'd like us to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6, Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. Gradually. Nurture and admonish gradually. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. I read for you this verse, these verses. And these words, which I command you this day, shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently. You see, the key is the word diligently. Teach them diligently, in other words, gradually, unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. It is a daily process. Diligence. You apply diligence to teach your children. Now let me ask you, friends, have you started family worship in the home? In your home, have you started? How diligently are you praying with your children, praying for them? And how diligently have you been reading God's word with them? And have you been teaching them to memorize God's word? And of course, if you want them to memorize God's word, you must memorize God's word yourself. You memorize God's word, you set the example for them to memorize God's word. Yes? And then how else should you be teaching your children? You teach them patiently. You turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 again, and verse 20 and verse 21. I read for you. Okay, verse 20. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? God had given these laws to the children of Israel through Moses. In time to come, your children, God said to Moses, in time to come, your children are going to ask you the meaning of these laws that have been given to them. Then verse 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, get lost? No, it's going to not get lost. Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's born men in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. You see, God was saying to them, you take pains to explain to them. When they ask you a question, what's the meaning of these laws? You must explain to them. Take pains to explain to them. Don't brush them aside. Give them a historical background to these laws. Likewise, you must apply patience in teaching your children. Teach them the meaning of God's word. You have no choice, my dear friends. You really have to read God's word yourself. And you have to understand the meaning of God's word yourself. Which means, of course, that you have to study God's word. And I said this, recommended this many times before. Go get some very, very good Bible commentaries. Learn the meaning of God's word so that when you teach your children, you can teach the word of God very, very effectively. And the more you know God's word, the simpler you will be able to present the ideas from God's word to your children. And that's true. So you must know God's word. Read it and know it well. Then, do you teach them the creation account? Very, very important that you teach them the creation account. Do you know enough of the creation account? And do you know enough of the evolution theory? So that when you can effectively teach your children the creation account, so that when they go to school or when they go to the university, they are not going to be taken away by the theory of evolution. Because you have grounded them well. You know the theory of evolution well. You know the fallacy of the evolution theory well. You know the creation account very well. You are able to teach your children very, very well. You ground them well so that when they get to the university, they will not be taken away. It's your job, my dear friends. Not just the job of the church, not just the job of the pastor or the Sunday school teachers. It is your job to teach your children the truth. Yes, nurture them and admonish them patiently. And do so lovingly. That's the third way you do it. Teach them, nurture and admonish lovingly. And the greatest love that you can show to your children is actually to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have to discipline your children, discipline them lovingly. They are more willing to accept your chastisement if your chastisement is handed out in a very, very loving manner. If the children can see that you punish them out of love and not because you want to hurt them, they will be more ready to accept the chastisement. Now, older Asians here, in this congregation here, I think less expressive in their love for the children than younger people in our midst. Yes, compared to the Caucasians, I think Asians are very, very restrained in showing love to their children. And this was the case with the father of Dr. John Soong, this great revivalist. Now, John Soong, we know, was a very, very intelligent man. And because he was a very, very intelligent man, he was very naughty. As with most children, naughty children are very, very inclined to be very, very naughty. And he was very naughty, and so the father had to whack him. And when he whacked him very, very severely. The punishment was very, very rough and very, very harsh. And one time, after the father had punished him, the father walked into his study. And on that particular day, the door of the study was slightly ajar. And John Soong could look through the opening and he saw his father on his knees, weeping away. His father was very, very weeping away before the Lord. And the father was very, very hurt because he had to punish his son. He hurt himself so much by punishing his son. Yes. And when Johnson saw that, he began to understand why his father punished him. And he realized how much his father loved him. And my dad believed that as of that day, he would be more receptive of the father's chastisement. And of course, if he was more receptive, then he would be more corrigible than if he was not receptive. So may I suggest that parents, all right, be more expressive to tell your children how much you love them and show it by your actions how much you love them. That way, when you hand out chastisement to your children, they are likely to be more receptive of the chastisement and are more likely to be corrigible. Now, how else are parents to nurture and admonish their children? How else? Of course, they are to do it by example. You can't teach your children if you don't set the example. Now, little Tommy had just offended. He had just used the F word, the little boy. He just used the F word. And the mother was very, very angry with Tommy for using the F word. And so she had to have him grounded, send him upstairs, and told him to lock himself, to be kept in the room. And then when father returned, mommy reported the father and said, Tommy used the F word. And then daddy was very, very angry, and he said, I will teach him. I will teach him not to swear. So father climbed the stairs, and when he reached the top step, he tripped and he fell. And when he tripped and he fell, he cursed and he swore. And he did it so loudly that the wife had to shut her ears. And she told her husband outright, she said, you had better come downstairs. Tommy has had his first lesson. Tommy has had his first lesson of not using rough words. What an example. Now, there was another example, and this one is an example of a very, very good example, and it's a true story. Now, there was a day I remember when I was about 40-odd years old in Singapore. It was, I think, after the Sunset Gospel Hour. That it was, I think, a very special occasion because the Lord's Supper was served that day in the evening. I can't remember exactly what the occasion was. Then I was talking to my former Sunday school teacher. He was then, I think, about 60 years old or so. Yes. And then we were talking, and as we were talking, we saw his father, who was an elder from another church, still serving the Lord. He was collecting the Lord's Supper cups in the front. And then I remarked this to him. I say, Dr. So-and-so, your father is still serving the Lord so strongly. He said, yeah. He said, yes, it's true. He said, I do not know whether I will be serving the way he's serving when I reach his age. You know what he was trying to tell me, actually? What he was trying to tell me as I thought about it was this, that his father had set him the standard of faithfulness. Yes. And how did he set him the standard of faithfulness? By example, of course, by example. And I dare believe that in that home of this elder, every time they talk about a good sermon of faithfulness, you know what they would be talking about? Father's example. That would be the best sermon on faithfulness. Friends, parents, don't provoke your children to anger. You would be provoking your children if you show favoritism to one of your children over the rest of your children. You'll be provoking your children to anger if you overcome your children. If you lay blame unreasonably and you punish unreasonably, and when you punish your children in a burst of anger. Now, on the positive side, parents are to nurture and to admonish their children. And the number one thing that you should do to teach your children is to show them the way of salvation. Teach them the way of salvation. And I would recommend this motto for you to bring up your children. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. Yes, train the child up in the way that he should go. And how should you be nurturing and how should you be admonishing your children? We've talked about it already. Do so gradually. Remember Deuteronomy chapter 6. Yes, train your child gradually, patiently, diligently, patiently. If they ask you questions, explain carefully. Take time to do so. Know the word of God very, very well so that you can teach your child in a very, very patient and very, very clear manner. And do so lovingly. Yes, if you have to punish your child, do so lovingly. Nurture and admonish lovingly. And the best way to nurture and to admonish is to do so by example. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your word. We pray for all the parents today that you will teach them out of your word of life how to bring up their children. Teach them, O Lord God, to bring up the children in the by nurturing and by admonishing them based on your word. And Lord, we pray that you enable them to teach their children gradually, patiently, lovingly, and by example. Enable them not to provoke their children to anger by showing favoritism and by handing out unfair punishment, by laying blame in a very unfair manner, by over-commanding their children, by expecting too much from their children, and by punishing their children when they are angry. Lord, we pray that you will grant parents here the wisdom and the strength to bring up the children in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.